Brandi Norwood exploded onto the pop culture scene in the 1990s. She had the hit sitcom Moesha.
Moesha.
She was on the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack.
Guess the verdict's in, I'm crazy over you.
She was speeding along on the highway of life until it all came crashing down. Hear the entire tragic story today on Death in Entertainment.
Live from Los Angeles.
911, what is your emergency?
Here in Hollywood now.
Two counts of murder,
injury, and death.
Oh my God!
Shocking new details
that has stunned the entertainment world.
This makes me a little nervous.
The hair stood up on my arms.
Just like in the movies.
What do you call this thing anyway?
Death in Entertainment.
Greetings, Dead-O Universe.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Funny to run into you here.
Whoa, crazy to be here. What's going on, everybody? My name's Kyle Plouffe.
And I'm Alejandro Dowling.
And welcome to another edition of Death in Entertainment.
We missed you. Did you miss us?
I missed everybody, okay?
You're looking good.
I'm very codependent. Yeah, we can't see you, but we know you look good.
We can smell it.
Yeah. Time to change deodorant.
Oh, come on.
All right.
I like it. It's natural.
Yeah, there's a lot going on this week. We are covering the story of Brandi Norwood.
Yeah, there's a lot to unravel here.
There is. This is actually a way crazier story than at first glance. Because you think it's pretty cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were mad at her. A lot of people threw her under a proverbial bus. I know we're talking about a car crash today, and that might not be appropriate, but that's what it is.
And we came to find that this story is actually stop and go.
Like the traffic that day.
And I just want to throw out a reminder that we are a true crime comedy podcast.
There will be jokes.
Death and entertainment, keyword entertainment.
Don't be so sensitive.
If you think the best jokes are told at a funeral, we're your podcast.
We're your guys.
And if you're easily offended, please go somewhere else. You're not going to like this.
Hit the bricks.
But for the rest of you,
now that you're all here,
let's have a good time.
So we are traveling back to a day where Beyonce was at the top of the Billboard charts with Irreplaceable. You must not know I mean. You must not know I mean.
Oh, boy.
I could have another you in a minute.
We're going to get a copyright strike. It's so close.
Is Beyonce here? Matter of fact, he'll be here in a minute, baby. I love that song. I didn't know that that came out in 2006. So we're just setting the tone here. That was what was going on the radio. And then Night at the Museum was the biggest at the box office.
Oh.
So we go from a night at the museum to a day on the freeway on December 30th, 2006.
But we must start at the beginning.
Oh.
Brandi Norwood. You know Brandi. She's an icon.
I never knew her last name was Norwood.
Really?
Until we started talking about this story.
What did you think it was? Ciccone?
I don't know. You know, I never thought of what Madonna's name was, and you're the one that told me the other day it's like Cicero or something.
Ciccone.
Ciccone, yeah. Is that what you just said?
Yeah. And you didn't recognize the reference.
No, and we literally talked about that last night. I've never thought, I don't know what Sinbad's last name is.
Sinbad.
These one-worders, man. I don't know. Well, Beyonce Knowles, I guess. I know that that's her last name. But a lot of one-word names, I don't even think of what their last name is.
Cher?
Don't know.
I can't think of it either, actually. Let's see Sinbad. He is...
Cher is Sarkissian. Who the fuck knows that?
Sounds like a Star Wars spinoff.
Sounds like a language.
Sinbad.
I'm speaking Sarkissian over here.
Yeah, like,
why isn't anyone touching my penis?
It's like a sardonic alien.
Why is no one touching my cock? I'm speaking Sarkissian. I should be balls deep.
Sinbad, would you believe, is David Adkins.
Sin good. David Adkins?
Uh-huh.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
That's his name.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's a legend. I don't want to rail against him too hard, but that's a ridiculous... David Adkins. I'm going to be called Sinbad.
Yeah, but he didn't choose that name. That's what he was born with.
He was born with Sinbad?
No, but you're calling his original name ridiculous.
No, it's ridiculous that he chose Sinbad.
Oh, I thought you were laughing at David Adkins.
What couple would name their kid David? No, the fact that he chose Sinbad is ridiculous to me.
It got a lot of attention.
It sure did, because yeah. I thought that it was his real name.
We're off track here. Let's get back to Brandy.
Let's get back on the road.
Ms. Norwood. She was born in Macomb, Mississippi in 1979. She was the oldest child. Her younger brother is Ray J.
Oh, that's right.
Who hit it first?
From behind.
Kim Kardashian.
He made the famous sex tape with Kim Kardashian.
And then he made a song called I Hit It First.
Oh, that's hilarious. That nobody heard.
I heard it.
Yeah, the cheeks clapping. I'm sure you did many times.
And also, did you know that her cousin is Snoop Dogg?
No.
Yes.
Shut up.
Uh-huh.
Brandy's cousin is Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
No way.
For real, look it up if you don't believe me. I can hear half of Dedo Nation gasping right now.
Snoop Dogg has claimed that he and Brandy are cousins.
Claimed.
Though Brandy has stated she's unsure if they're actually related.
Come on.
That's funny. Oh, she's reported to be a cousin of the wrestler Mercedes Moné, who is Sasha Banks. She's from Boston. Mm. That'd be crazy. That's three people who have made it to the pinnacle of their careers.
Yeah.
Pinnacle of their industries. That's interesting.
Yeah. That's some heavy hitters right there.
And Cameron Diaz went to high school with Snoop Dogg, famously, in Long Beach.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Them being friends.
I could see it.
Yeah. She seems so much younger than him. That's why it's throwing me off.
Yeah, that's true. But if you think about it, they were both in their early 20s in the mid 90s.
Yeah.
She, of course, with the mask.
Oh, God.
Her big debut. And he, of course, with the dog father and...
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
So, yeah, Brandy and Ray J, they both... I think he's a little lesser than
yeah.
Brandy, but they both had musical talent.
They both...
Their parents were very proud.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so they would go to church choir and sing...
Oh, I'm sure they were super proud of Ray J then, coming out with a sex tape with Kim Kardashian.
Well, it hadn't happened yet.
Well, yeah.
We're still in early childhood. Nothing much was happening in Mississippi, so they uprooted to Los Angeles, the city of dreams, the land of angels,
yeah,
and demons,
and death.
Entertainment. So these kids would sign up for talent shows, and of course all the audiences were wowed. And Brandy eventually got a contract with Atlantic Records when she was still in high school. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then she made her debut on TV with the sitcom Thea. Do you remember Thea?
It sounds kind of familiar.
It debuted in 1993. I actually remember watching it when it was on. I guess.
Oh, I'm looking at pictures. Yeah. I mean, I do remember this cast.
Thea was a stand-up comedian a la Roseanne, and this was a show based on her life experiences. It was actually very funny. She's a funny lady. But this show is about a no-nonsense widow raising four kids, and one of them is Brandy.
Wow.
And so she's getting good marks. She's got this Atlantic Records contract. The show didn't last long, but she got a lot of attention for it.
Yeah, it led to other things.
It did. And her first album landed in 1994 called Brandy. What a wild title for a debut album. Thinking outside the box.
Uh-huh.
Let's just call it my name.
Yep. The name is mine.
And it wasn't exactly a sensation, but it was very successful.
Mm.
And it had a certain je ne sais quoi about it.
Yes.
You know, it was like clean pop for young people.
Yeah.
It wasn't profane. It wasn't mean-spirited. It was just like very melodic R&B.
Yeah.
For teen girls.
Right.
But yet, you probably listened to it too.
I listened to her when she said, sitting up in my room.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. That is from the 1995 soundtrack to the movie Waiting to Exhale. And that was a sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Brandy got a song on it is huge. Because that album, it has Whitney Houston and Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan.
And it was nominated for all kinds of awards. And the movie was very successful too, but I would say the soundtrack was even more successful.
Yeah.
Millions of copies.
The Allstate guy was in it. Dennis Haysbert.
Oh, yeah.
That's Allstate Stan.
No, that movie had a big cast. Brandy, though, not in it as an actress.
Right.
Just the song. But the video was big on MTV.
Yeah.
Sitting up in my room. Da, 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 da. Mm. I must confess.
That's perfect.
I'm a mess without you. Okay, we're going to get another copyright strike.
Yeah.
It was too close to the song. Well, Brandy teamed up with Monica, and in summer 1998, they had the song of the year, the summer jam, The Boy Is Mine.
The boy is mine. I used to put this on VHS music video mixtapes that I would make. I wasn't afraid to tell people I liked the song. And they were fighting over Mekhi Phifer in the video, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was very sexy. And we were talking about this the other day, too. I was proud of you. That you were
for being out.
Yeah, that you were out and proud as a Boy Is Mine fan at the time, because we would have been around 12 years old.
I was raised by a single mom, and I didn't realize, like, being out and liking shit that you actually like, even if it's sort of girly, was frowned upon.
No, it wasn't frowned upon. It's just...
Of course it would. If I brought the fucking Waiting to Exhale soundtrack to school, being like, I love this, people would be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, you might have been stuffed into your locker, but I think deep down they would have respected you.
I respect this guy. A single tear comes down as they're holding the fucking locker shut.
The bully whispers in your ear as he's shoving you in. Dude, that's tight.
I'm proud of your ability to be yourself. Now get in the locker, queer!
He gives you a kiss on the cheek. And then someone sort of sees it from down the hall. Then he's like, shut up, queer! And he punches you.
Yeah.
No, that was a big summer, though, 98. We had also Backstreet's Back. All right!
Yeah.
And Too Close.
Ooh, by Next.
Song about getting an erection on the dance floor. And that was the number one song of the year. Billboard.
And
can you believe that?
That fucking music video was like all filmed in like a shitter. It's like in a toilet.
That's code for bathroom, right?
Yeah.
Huge song.
Yeah.
Huge toilet.
I think I remember that correctly.
I'm sure. Some things don't leave your consciousness.
Fuck, was it this video? They're dancing in the club. Oh, yeah. And then they go to the bathroom.
Well, it got a lot of airplay on MTV, as did The Boy Is Mine.
The end of the videos, yeah, in the bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah.
And The Boy Is Mine, of course, Brandy and Monica are trading jabs at each other, fighting over Mekhi Phifer.
As he's going from one apartment to the other.
Yeah. So much airplay that summer.
Trifling is what they would say back in the day.
That's what you would say back in the day.
Yes.
From your locker.
This man is trifling.
And all this excitement over The Boy Is Mine, mm-hmm. and Waiting to Exhale, I have not even mentioned Moesha.
I was going to say, I felt like we totally skipped over Moesha.
No, we have not.
Yeah, so she goes from Thea to Brandy to Moesha.
Oh, her album Brandy.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, exactly. You nailed it.
Yeah. I thought so.
Premiered in January 1996 on UPN. Y'all remember UPN?
I loved UPN.
It was the CW of its day.
It was literally this.
Well, it
same,
is. This,
yeah.
Right. Yes. It morphed into the CW.
Yeah, it had the Dancing Frog.
And the competitor was WB Network at this time, right?
It became the WB Network.
No, but the WB Network was a separate entity to UPN at this time, and they eventually merged to become the CW.
Yeah.
But they both had very similar kinds of programs.
Yeah, they did. I remember watching the PJs, Eddie Murphy's claymation cartoon.
Yep, I remember that one.
Moesha, Sister Sister.
Oh, classic.
Sister Sister.
Yep.
I used to watch all those fucking shows.
They were
amazing.
Great. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Moesha was great.
Yeah.
And talk about hitting a chord with audiences.
Yeah.
This became a huge pop culture talking point.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, because the show tackled all sorts of social issues. And Brandy was a breakout star. She was so good as the lead role. And it's a family that lives in Los Angeles, upper middle class.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it lasted over 100 episodes. That's the magic number for syndication.
Mm-hmm.
Six seasons, ended in 2001. And when I say this was part of the pop culture zeitgeist, I think that's an understatement. Everybody knew what Moesha was, even if you didn't watch the show.
Yeah.
You knew the name Moesha.
Absolutely. It's so funny. The dad was a Saturn car dealer. It's like all these, the UPN's gone, Saturn's gone. All these like, pop culture references are falling off. It's so nuts.
It's so 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they tackled sexuality, drugs, teen pregnancy, death, premarital sex, teenagers going here, going there, going everywhere.
Coming and going.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moesha was amazing to watch. I'm trying to find what the dad is up to now.
The actor who played the dad?
William Allen Young.
He's not so young anymore.
William Allen Old.
And the mom, Cheryl Lee Ralph, she's a legend.
Yeah.
I first encountered her in the Flintstones movie.
Oh, really?
As a reporter.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, Moesha's mom?
She's huge on Broadway.
Ah, very nice. There was, I think the brother was involved in a murder.
Really?
Lamont Bentley died January 19th, 2005 in Ventura County, California. His death, shortly after midnight on January 19th, 2005, Bentley was driving alone when he was killed in a single car accident in Southern California's Ventura County. He was driving on Highway 118 near Simi Valley.
Wow.
Oh, okay, so I thought he was involved in a murder. That's crazy. He was ejected from his vehicle into traffic where five cars struck him. Jesus.
Oh my God. Is this cast cursed?
It very, very well could be.
And you were just tarnishing his good name.
Yeah.
He went from being a murderer to being a
involved,
very, very unfortunate victim.
Yeah.
In an accident.
Oof. Yeah, that's brutal.
And that was 2019?
That was January 19th, 2005. Oh, so it was like just after all this stuff.
Oh, wow.
Within years.
R.I.P. Lamont Bentley.
R.I.P., yeah.
Was he in a Bentley? Just ask.
Looks like he wasn't.
Okay.
He's from Milwaukee.
A Wisconsinite.
Wisconsin.
Wow.
Yeah, October 25th, 1973, born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and then died 2005 in Ventura County.
Well, I feel very connected to him now.
Yeah. I knew there was something crazy with a death related to him, and it was just him. Jesus.
Take the wheel.
Ray J was in Moesha as well.
Okay, so who did he play? I don't remember this.
Dorian Long.
So not one of the family members.
It was a short role for Mr. Long.
Was it a sort of Urkel type role?
Can I do that?
The funny neighbor shows up.
Ray J has two Maybachs that are missing right now as well. So he's got a lot going on right now.
May what?
Maybachs. They're cars.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Very expensive.
I want my time back that story.
Yeah, they're $200K a piece and police are investigating.
Very sad. Very sad, I guess.
I mean, you know, they don't have much luck with vehicles in this family, apparently.
No.
As we move on.
You will hear about that very soon.
Yeah.
Why don't we hear a clip of Brandy talking about Moesha?
Why don't we?
Reflecting on the whole experience.
Well, I can say that when Moesha met Brandy, I knew who Moesha was and I didn't know who Brandy was.
Mm.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So as I'm playing Moesha, like I had the confidence and everything. But when it got time for me to, you know, be myself, I didn't know how to really act. I didn't know what to really like. I didn't know my personality, you know.
Was that hard growing up with so in that bubble, you know?
It was very difficult. Yes, it's very difficult to grow up in front of, you know, the public eye, you know, front of, you know, everybody, you know, because when you're a role model, you know, people, you know, expect you to be perfect in everything you do. And, you know, I was growing up and I wasn't perfect.
Wow. I can see that. I mean, I felt that way very much growing up. Like, I didn't know how to be me. I didn't know what being me even meant.
But you did admit to loving the boy is mine unabashedly.
Now, but back...
That's being yourself.
Back then, I mean, I didn't really talk about it too much.
So people just whispered about you that you liked...
The boy is mine.
The boy is mine.
Hal likes the boy is mine.
No, I hear you. But that is interesting because you're saying that, but part of you didn't care.
Like, even as a comic for the longest, it would be easier for me to write for another person than to write for myself.
Because I remember being made fun of for buying a Jimi Hendrix CD.
Yeah.
When I was like 13.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Jimi Hendrix. That was actually a cool thing.
Yeah.
So I couldn't imagine openly admitting that I loved The Boy Is Mine. That's my only point.
And the Power Rangers.
I was a cop out.
Yeah. Yeah, you said I was too old to be so out and about my Power Rangers love.
I never said that.
Yes, you did.
No.
You said I was too old.
No, I said I was too old.
Oh, yeah.
But that exactly. is a fascinating thought that she was so comfortable being Moesha when it came to herself, not at all.
Because you're told who she is and what she wants to be, and it's very difficult to see that in yourself.
Yeah, she said that she used to hide in the teacher's parking lot in junior high so the other girls wouldn't beat her up.
Wow. And that's in L.A.?
Yes, that's in L.A.
Yeah, so that's just, I mean, bullies are everywhere, but I'm assuming they can be particularly vicious out here.
You think it was worse than Wisconsin or Massachusetts?
I mean, Massachusetts was rough.
Yeah.
It rough, especially I was the new kid every year. I went to like 7 different schools growing up because we moved all the time. And being the new kid, you're just a target.
Or you're mysterious.
Mysterious for a second, then people are just like, let's kick this kid's ass. He's listening to sitting up in my room all day.
So if that's going on, it's just interesting to think that Brandy took Kobe Bryant to the high school prom.
That's nuts.
In 1996.
A lot of people don't know that. They went to the prom together. She took him to her prom. Kobe fucking Bryant, one of the best goddamn players in NBA history, one of the most legendary people to ever exist. I just went to the prom. No big.
I wonder if that made people even more jealous.
Well, back then, he wasn't Kobe Bryant.
But I'm sure they could see great things for him.
Yeah, she said she could see that he was gonna like go somewhere and be somebody, but not everybody knows that.
No, that's a good point.
Not everybody knows or sees that or appreciates that, because most people who grow up with someone who goes on to do big things, they either are in two camps. They say, oh, I knew it the whole time, or it's someone who's just a hater that's like, he's not gonna fucking do anything. It's too hard, you can't do it. So the fact she believed, that's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
She said they kissed twice, and his lips were very soft.
Okay, I'm closing my eyes.
Soft lips.
That must have been a magical evening.
A night of magic.
A high.
Yeah. It is crazy. She said they never went out after that on dates or anything. They just went to prom when they were both 17. I didn't realize they were the same age.
Wow.
17 years old. 1996 was their prom. That's crazy. The year Tupac died, they were going to the prom.
And that's when Moesha premiered.
Mm.
So she's already a big star.
Yeah. She stayed in high school. A lot of people don't. They just take off.
I would have said peace out.
Yeah. When's the prom? The prom's like around April, May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's in December.
Yeah.
All right, so we covered Moesha. We covered her explosion onto the pop landscape. But we did not cover her movie career.
Mm.
Because she was showing such beautiful acting chops on television. Yeah. Surely that would translate to the big screen. And I'm sorry to report it didn't really.
Yeah, I remember seeing her and I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. And I was just like, get out of here. Get out of here.
Did you see that in the theater?
I did.
So did I.
I saw it after I saw another movie, and I don't remember the first movie I saw. I saw it after I saw a movie in the theater, and I remember sneaking in and seeing it and being like, ugh, this isn't even worth being free.
Well, I saw it as the main attraction and paid for it.
Wow. You sure did, with your time and money.
And everyone in the theater laughed the entire time.
Her Cinderella I watched like 3 years ago during the pandemic, and I was like, this is god awful.
She was the first black Cinderella.
Yeah.
And her family friend Whitney Houston played the fairy godmother.
Yep.
Close family friend.
I didn't realize they were family friends.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I guess I can get into that now.
Another podcast that we covered.
Yeah, we covered Whitney Houston and we actually talked about Brandy on it. Do you remember?
I guess so. Yeah, I didn't and now I kind of do.
Yeah. Let me refresh your memory. Well, she was one of the last people to see Whitney Houston alive.
Oh, wow. Oof.
And Whitney had just come from the pool or something, so she wasn't glammed up at all. And this was at the Beverly Hilton, like right before she died.
Wow.
And I have a clip here.
Man, I have been sitting here waiting for her since I got here. I'm like, where's Whitney? Where's Whitney?
A 16-year-old Brandy barely able to contain herself.
I just hope she's nice to me and she likes me.
Knowing she'd soon share the stage at the 1995 Kids' Choice Awards with her hero, Whitney Houston.
No pressure.
Only extra with this amazing video, the superstar surprising her biggest fan.
Where are you going? Don't you start crying and carrying on and stuff. Come here with your little pretty self.
Just 2 days.
That's
before
fucking
death,
amazing.
Whitney bursting yeah. into this E interview.
Whitney definitely seemed like a sweet person.
Yeah, and like, tells her, come back, stop crying, get over here, give me a hug.
Yeah,
that is so nice. Not almost nobody is like that when you're as big as Whitney Houston.
And then they did Cinderella together and had a magical experience, and then you trashed it.
Well, you know, it didn't come off.
Okay, now here's the part. I believe this is Whitney's last appearance on video.
Wow.
Just 2 days before her death, Whitney bursting into this E! Interview with Clive Davis, Monica, and Brandy, handing her protege a private note.
Whitney burst in on an interview with Brandy.
Now I do remember that. Yep.
This for you. I love you, Whitney Houston.
Aw.
So yeah, they obviously had a deep friendship that, although it's not like the type I'm sure where they saw each other all the time, but if you think of all those bullet points in their careers, like Waiting to Exhale, Cinderella, and they also collaborated on other things.
That's so cool that we got to see the genesis of that relationship too.
Mm-hmm.
Right there at the Kids' Choice Awards.
Yeah.
She's saying, I hope she's nice. I hope, you know, I get to say hello. And then boom, she's right there saying, hey, come over here, give me a hug.
Yeah.
That's so cool, man.
And Brandy juggling all those worlds, because a lot of the time they don't mix that easily.
Right.
Because Brandy had a hit teen album, but then she's also on Waiting to Exhale, which is the most popular contemporary adult R&B album in the entire world.
And Brandy was on the Batman Forever soundtrack.
She was?
Yes. It was such a crazy soundtrack.
Yeah, we had Seal. Everyone remembers that. Kiss from a World.
Yeah.
And then Flaming Lips also.
Massive Attack.
Bad Day, one of my favorite songs by Flaming Lips.
Mazzy Star, U2, PJ Harvey, The Offspring, Brandy with Where Are You Now?
We're here.
Yeah, hello. Method Man, Michael Hutchence, The Devlins, Sunny Day Real Estate, and The Flaming Lips. Massive soundtrack. Amazing artists.
That's when soundtracks meant something.
Yeah.
Kids today,
you don't know about the soundtrack.
They really don't.
They really don't. Yeah, like, true.
Soundtracks were everything.
Yeah.
Godzilla with Come With Me, Puff Daddy.
Yeah.
And the Flintstones soundtrack with the BC-52s.
BC-52s and Anarchy in the UK.
Sex Pistols.
Sex Pistols, yeah.
They were on the Flintstones soundtrack?
I believe so.
I don't think so, Kyle. I had that tape.
Hold on. Oh, Green Jell-O. Which is
to green the, jelly.
They were turned into green jelly because Jell-O sued them for using green Jell-O.
Oh, that's funny.
Anarchy and Bedrock.
That's so good.
Yeah. I don't think we'll get copyright.
All right, let's
hear it. I think we'll get copyright strike. Hold on. I don't think we'll get copyright striked if we actually play a little bit of this.
Okay.
Anarchy in Bedrock. Twitch. Twitch.
You don't remember this?
I should. This was really on the Flintstone song.
Yes.
I had that. It's not. It's, yeah.
On a bay. And
it's starting to, yeah, it's starting to sound a little familiar.
But Brandy's song, yeah, was
that song really rocks.
Hello.
Can we hear like 2 seconds of the Brandy song from Batman Forever?
Yeah.
To even the spread here. Oh, I love it. So smooth. I love the vibe she had. Yeah. Yeah, it really stood out, her style.
Yeah, I love that now, but back in the day, I used to skip over it all the time because it wasn't as fucking dark as the Batman Forever soundtrack should have been, in my opinion.
Right, it's an eclectic group of songs on that thing.
Yeah.
And back to the soundtracks in general, you can't explain just how huge even there would always be like one major video, like Seal Kiss from a Rose was the big one from that.
Yeah.
But like Summer 1993 UB40 with Can't Help Falling in Love from Sliver, that black and white video with Sharon Stone, that played all summer long on MTV.
Yep.
And there's just not that equivalent now. You couldn't recreate that sort of takeover of pop culture.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's crazy that like kids now, they don't know anything about soundtracks and they don't know that McDonald's like Happy Meals used to be themed to movies instead of rappers.
Batman Forever and Flintstones are two that come to mind.
Absolutely.
Huge campaigns. I had the glass Flintstones mug.
Oh, I had all the glass Batman Forever ones from McDonald's.
Let's trade.
Yeah. Those things were unbreakable. You could kick someone's ass with them.
Yeah, I used it for years.
Yeah.
So where were we?
Brandy.
Oh, back to her movie career.
Yeah.
I have a clip from I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, boy.
And we saw this scene on 35mm in the theater.
I wish I could forget what you did last summer.
1998, can you believe it?
Wow.
What's happening, lovers? We're going to get tropical, we're going to get tropical.
This weekend, all Carla and Tyrell wanted was to be alone. Unfortunately.
It's happening again.
Good.
Someone's about to cut their weekend short.
Then Willis is dead. You killed him. They never found the body.
This November, Friday the 13th.
We can sit here and wait for the pickup song, or we can go find them first.
There's no getting away.
Julie, watch out!
I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Rated R. Opens everywhere Friday.
Wow, Blue Monday by Orgy playing in the background.
So hip. Yeah, the movie did not ignite a major movie career for Brandy.
No.
How does it not translate?
That's weird, right?
She was huge on TV, huge on the pop charts, and on the big screen,
Yeah, for some reason. You have to work with someone who you know will guarantee they're shooting you in the right way and editing you in the right way.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't have that support or protection, it's not going to look good if you're not ready for it.
In stark contrast to Brandy's mentor, Whitney Houston, who exploded into movies with The Bodyguard and Waiting to Exhale. She also acted in the movie along with being on the soundtrack. And that worked. Like, The Bodyguard was a critical and commercial hit.
Yeah.
And yet, look at the other huge pop star of that era, Madonna.
Mm.
She couldn't find one movie that worked for her.
There's not one.
And God knows she tried.
Yeah.
Dick Tracy sort of worked.
I was going to say, yeah.
I like Dick Tracy, but...
So did the Academy.
If you isolate... Yeah, they nominated Al Pacino for it. And the clip they played at the Oscars was him going, I want Dick Tracy dead!
League of Their Own, she wasn't too bad.
Yes, but if you isolate her performances in A League of Their Own and Dick Tracy, it's like, eh...
Yeah.
It's part of a large ensemble, works great, but it wasn't like, it's not like she held the movie or anything.
She swung for the fences with Evita, and I heard that was terrible.
Yeah, I think she did her best, but kind of a snooze fest.
Wow.
And then swept away, forget about it.
Sweep it under the rug.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brandy, though, did not try as many times as Madonna did.
Mm.
She basically gave up on the film.
Madonna would not go away.
No.
Yeah.
She's like, you didn't like that one? Well, how about this one?
How about Girl 6?
One of Spike Lee's worst movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you look at Brandy's IMDb, that was basically it. She did a TV movie called Double Platinum with Diana Ross. That was received fine. So as long as she stayed on TV, like Cinderella got big ratings.
Mm.
You didn't like it, but a lot of other people did.
Sure.
But yeah, she basically stuck to what worked for her after that. Released some more albums. Never Say Never in 1998. That's the one with Boy Is Mine. Full Moon in 2002, which was dedicated to Aaliyah.
Oh, wow. Future episode.
Yes. And in 2004, Aphrodisiac.
Whoa.
Kind of a risque title, right?
Hey, she's growing up.
She is.
Getting sexual. And it's Afro, Aphrodisiac. Oh.
That went right over my head.
Went right over your Afro.
That's cultural appropriation.
Yeah, well, you're the one that has it.
So things are going pretty well through the early to mid-2000s.
Yeah.
Until December 30th, 2006.
Oof, what happened?
Brandy is going about her day, and she's traveling on what we Californians call the 405 freeway.
Yeah. Back home in Boston, we would say, all right, you go on 93 South, you go to 95, and then you jump on 495. Out here in California, it's the 101, the 405. So this happened on the 405 in Sherman Oaks on the Sepulveda Boulevard exit.
Yeah, and she was going northbound.
Oh, she was going north. I thought she was going south for some reason.
No, she was south of the 101. We sound like those loony Californians right now.
She was on the 405.
Yeah, what does it matter?
It does not matter, yeah.
Although, it means she was going away from
Beverly the hustle and Hills bustle.
And the hustle and bustle, Brentwood, Beverly Hills, Santa Monica.
Yeah.
She's going to the valley.
Yes, past the valley. She's trying to get out of here.
Yeah. She was going about 65 miles per hour.
Which is tame on these highways.
Tame?
Yes. 65, people go like 90 to 100.
See, I have a completely different view of this.
Really?
I'm shocked that 65 was even attainable.
Well, because there's a lot of traffic.
Yes, the 405 is usually a parking lot.
Yeah.
So to go 10 miles an hour, you start celebrating.
Yeah.
65, are you kidding me?
But 65 as a speed is not a dangerous speed in general.
No, but it's a unicorn on the 405.
For sure, yeah.
90. Where have you seen people going 90?
But you're saying 65 like it was...
Maybe at 4 a.m.
Like it was an indictment.
No, not at all. Okay. I'm more flabbergasted.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She was able to get up to that speed.
That makes sense, yeah.
So she's cruising along and suddenly there's a slowdown up ahead and she can't slow down in time. So she crashes her 2007 Land Rover, which is a big vehicle.
Yeah.
Big SUV.
Yeah.
She crashes right into a 2005 Toyota being driven by Atef Aboudahaj, a 38-year-old woman from Morocco.
Hmm.
And that woman was at the time working as a waitress at two restaurants to support her family. Her two sons were also in the car, ages 10 and 14.
Damn.
By the way, I found another article that said Atef was driving a Honda.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if it was a Honda or a Toyota.
Either way, they're not made for crashing.
No. Best to be avoided.
They crumple pretty easily.
You know? Could.
They last forever. Great engines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you keep up with the oil changes, you can drive it forever. But if you get hit, good luck to you.
And compared to Brandy's vehicle, let's just call it the Land Paver.
Yeah, that is a big one.
The impact forced Atef to slam into the car in front of her before she careened into the center divider. And then she flips over into oncoming traffic and gets hit yet again by an oncoming car on the other side of the freeway.
Yeah, so Brandy hits her. She flies into another car, bounces off that car, hits the median. The car flips over the median, and then someone driving the other way crashes into her at full speed.
You got it.
Whew.
When the smoke cleared, Brandy was miraculously uninjured. The man driving behind her was able to hit the brakes in time, so he was uninjured as well.
Wow.
The same cannot be said for the rest of the victims. The person who crashed into Atef's car on the other side of the freeway, a man named Mallory Ham. I thought it was a woman.
I thought it was a woman too.
But I found articles that said Mallory was a man.
What?
But the first research I was doing, I always assumed it was a woman because they didn't say the gender.
What's going on here?
But I have to inform you, Kyle, Mallory Ham is a man.
Wow. Hopefully no relation to Ham Rocket.
Who was not the best dad.
Yeah.
So Mallory suffered a broken nose and lacerations to his face. I want to say her face, but...
A man without a face. Didn't that come out around this time, too? Oh, no, that was in the
90s. Oh, that was way before. That was before Batman Forever and Waiting to Exhale.
A ham without a face.
Which were out at the same time, by the way.
Oh.
So she was allowed on both of those soundtracks at the same time.
Wow.
But let's get back to 2006.
Sure. Wow, a man named Mallory.
Boy named Sue.
Yeah.
It can happen. So he suffered a broken nose.
Hold on. Before you even get this out, the name Mallory is a boy's name meaning unfortunate.
What?
That makes sense because the name is unfortunate for a boy.
But why? But it's also a girl's name.
Mallory is a gender-neutral name of French origin. The literal translation is unlucky or unfortunate.
But yet mainly girls were named Mallory for some reason.
In my time.
Like Mickey and Mallory from the Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, right. Well, there you have it.
You learn new things every day on Death and Entertainment.
Everything I've learned about the name Mallory is against my will.
Yeah. It is funny what names do to you, though. They put a certain picture in your head.
They do.
And you just assume things.
And that is your bias.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my struggle. So Donald is the man who Atef hit from behind.
No relation to the duck.
He was also injured.
Jeez.
Both of Atef's sons were shaken.
Not stirred.
But ended up being okay.
Well, that's good.
Stop laughing. She, on the other hand, was in very serious condition.
Yeah.
Atef. Although Brandy was all right physically, she went into panic mode. She exited her vehicle and started walking around the crash scene, crying, while vehicles swerved around her.
She's just out of her car walking on the freeway.
Yeah, like a maniac. Oh. And she was overheard saying, "I didn't stop. It's all my fault."
That is such a shocking thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can absolutely see how that would happen to somebody and be so freaked out, even if it really wasn't their fault. Just being like, "I hit them, so it's definitely my fault," mm-hmm. even though they might have stopped short.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no avoidable way to, you know, not hit them.
It shows she has some empathy, of course, for the situation,
mm-hmm.
as you should. And she keeps repeating that it's all her fault. A good Samaritan then pulled over and advised her to calm down.
Yeah.
And to get out of the line of danger and wait by the side of the road.
It's a smart person.
Also told her to stop declaring that she was guilty because that could be damning evidence in court.
They even say that on like your insurance cards and like AAA cards. If you're ever in an accident, you don't go out and start saying, "Sorry, it was my fault," because the insurance companies will figure that out.
Yeah, you have to say, "Sorry, it's your fault."
Yeah. "You fucking hit me, you son of a bitch." And you're the one that just plowed into them.
I have a theory here.
Ooh.
I think the Good Samaritan was a Moesha fan.
It's very possible.
Okay. And then, meanwhile.
Quite a theory.
In the midst of this chaos, Atef is dying. When paramedics arrived on the scene, minutes later, there was no pulse. She was rushed to Holy Cross Hospital and treated for her serious injuries. Sadly, the next morning, Atef was pronounced dead.
Mm.
She was survived by her sons and husband. The coroner listed her cause of death as blunt force trauma, and it was ruled accidental. A statement issued by Brandy's publicist said, quote, "She wishes to publicly express her condolences to the family of the deceased and asks that the media respect the privacy of everyone involved."
That's all you can say at that point.
Yeah.
That's so scary that she's just minding her own business, just driving to whatever she's going to do. And then whether or not you just take your eyes off the road for a second and then go, "Oh, shit." And then you hit somebody, and to see them bounce off somebody else, hit the median and flip over and get hit by another oncoming car is just so terrifying, because that could happen to any of us any day.
Yeah, it definitely happens on the 405 all the time where you suddenly have to slow down.
Yeah.
Because you're like, "Whoa, I can go this fast right now? Awesome. I'm going to make good time."
Especially going from the 101 from Woodland Hills towards the 405.
Yeah.
That little split, I've almost died probably 5 times right at that intersection.
Right.
And that's the exact opposite. So it's right underneath that. We're doing the overpass right above where Brandy hit and, you know, was involved in this horrible crash.
Right.
It's tough.
It really could happen to anyone.
Yeah.
But that's why you have to pay close attention to when you're driving.
Is that a judgment?
Well, no. Yes.
Ooh.
I don't know if she was texting. We can't get proof of that.
I mean, in 2006.
Those were the days when texting was really difficult.
Yeah. Unless you had like one of those.
It was like Morse code.
I had one of those flip phones where you just kick the screen up and it would be like a keyboard underneath.
Oh, no. The way I started was each number had like 3 letters on it.
Yeah, you got to hit it 3 times.
God, that was annoying.
Then you miss it and then you got to go again.
So she could have been going like, "Okay, be there in 50. Whoa.
Bang.
You never know. But she could have not been texting.
No.
There was no alcohol or drugs involved.
Mm.
So I guess we won't know exactly what caused that. What caused her to not see the slowdown up ahead.
Yeah, I mean, she's never going to be able to publicly talk about it.
Why?
Without opening herself up to a lawsuit. If she came out and said, "Oh, fuck, like I really...
My bad.
I checked out there for a second," people would be all over. I know she got sued before, and some of those lawsuits were resolved. I mean, they were all resolved in one way or another, but...
Yeah, we'll get to those.
Yeah, to have to talk about what actually happened, and if it opens the door for any type of guilt to be associated with her comments, then she's going to lose a lot of money.
A spokesman for the California Highway Patrol Leland Tan said, quote, barring any mechanical difficulties on Brandy's part, like a brake failure or a steering failure, then there's the very high probability that she is the party most at fault or the contributing party.
Mm. It's so crazy that that car just hit another car, careened off the center divider, and flipped over onto the other side. Because it could have just been, you know, a fender bender.
Right, which happens all the time. You see it every time you go somewhere in LA.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fender bender that you see on the side of the road.
Yeah, there was so much momentum. The car that this person who passed away, that was they were driving.
Atef
probably wasn't fully stopped then.
No.
Hmm.
There's some more details that I will reveal.
Okay.
As the story unravels.
Scratching my head here.
On January 30th, 2007, there's a couple of investigations going on at the same time. One by the police and then one by the California Highway Patrol.
With Sting? The police?
I feel stung by that joke. You caught me off guard. The police were finding that there really wasn't anything too reckless about Brandy's behavior.
The police said this?
Sort of.
Okay. Because I've heard that.
Or is it what they didn't say?
Oh.
Because while that's going on, the California Highway Patrol comes out and recommends that Brandy be charged with misdemeanor vehicular manslaughter.
That's insane just to come out and say that's what they recommend.
Yeah.
Investigation's not even close to being done. And they're like, no. Get her!
Yeah. Because the police, I mentioned that no alcohol or drugs were involved, so they knew that. They also determined there was no mechanical error, but it's still ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
No, but the CHP, they want to go full steam ahead.
They were not Moesha fans.
No.
Not even Thea fans.
And so they insinuate that she was reckless and caused the accident and that it was her fault and that there was negligence. And this charge can carry a penalty of up to 1 year in jail and $1,000 fine, which the fine is whatever, but jail.
Yeah, it's a year of your life.
I have a clip here from 2008 of Brandy trying to promote a new album called Human.
Human.
And this is a good example of what this did to her career, because she's not at her height. She reached her peak in the 90s, but she's still a big star.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have as many number one hits, but whatever. She'll always be Brandy.
Right.
But this accident ensured that she was going to be synonymous with it for a while.
Wow.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be back doing what I love to do. This is so exciting.
It's really been 4 years.
Yes.
We know that the last two especially have been tough for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Almost 2 years to the day that you were involved in that accident that killed a young mother.
Yes.
You talked about that, and I remember you saying that you were so devastated that you didn't leave the house for 3 months.
I did. It was a very, very hard time for me, but music pretty much saved the day, and just family and friends just supporting me. And, you know, that's why I'm back with this album, to celebrate what it means to be a human being and, you know, having a life with purpose and meaning, you know?
I know that you really could relate to this mother, because you're a mother yourself.
Yes,
oh,
I am.
My God.
She left behind two children, a husband.
Let's just shoehorn in that this woman died.
Them, what would you say to them?
I think that's a private matter. And I've written in my journal about it, everything that I want to say. And, you know, just not just to that family, but everybody involved. And, you know, I just would rather keep that.
What would you say to them?
Yeah. As a mother who, this mother died and you're a mother as well. What would you say to the families? Like, get the fuck out of here.
Sorry. I mean, what is she supposed to say here?
My bad.
To myself, if you don't mind.
Oh, of course I don't mind. I completely understand.
Thank you.
And I could see it's tough for you to talk about that. What have you?
Yeah. What gave it away?
Yeah. I can see it's tough to talk about someone who died because of one bad decision you made.
Now, you killed someone. What does that feel like?
Were you aroused?
How did you come out of this?
Like I said before, it's just diving back into my music and just my family and friends being there to support me and just understanding that moving on, I have to have everything in my life mean something, you know, purpose and inspiration. And I just want to be an inspiration to other people.
You kept. Good.
All right. So you can see the kinds of questions she has to dodge, and she's trying to get this album going.
Yeah, and she seems very sweet. I mean, I feel for her. This is a horrible, horrible thing. And then, you know, that's all dumbass fucking morning shows want to talk about.
But on the other hand, don't they have to ask her about that? That's all going on in the background.
Yes and no.
So would not ask her about it?
Yeah, just talk to her about the album.
Uh-huh.
But then viewers would probably be mad and write in saying, why didn't you ask her?
What I think is you can ask her, just don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
You know, ask her once in a tasteful way and then move on. But she was really laying it on thick.
Very thick.
Like, okay, as a mom, can you see why this dead lady's kids are so sad?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you understand? What do you have to say? What do you have to say about that?
Could you imagine if the roles were reversed and you were killed?
Tell us about that.
Yeah, because Brandy did have a kid with someone who she went on Oprah saying that she was married to the guy, but it was a lie. They weren't married. She was embarrassed to say it was out of wedlock.
What? Oh, my God. Brandy was?
Yeah. I don't think she's ever gotten married. But so in the media, though, she pretended she was married. But anyway.
That's insane. So it was just some random dude that she was like friends with or something?
Like a music producer.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
And so, yeah, that's when she said
that's what she's self-conscious about.
Yeah, but she was saying like as a mother. So Brandy was a mother by that point.
Yeah.
Just pointing that out.
Yeah.
I know she likes to keep things private, so I don't want to say too much about it. So let's go back to now the multiple investigations going on.
Mm.
And Brandy doesn't know if she's going to trial, a criminal trial.
Mm.
Then out of nowhere, there was a leak to the media from, I believe, the California Highway Patrol.
What's up with these guys?
That Atef might have slammed into the car in front of her first, thus causing the pileup.
Wow.
Also, are you sitting down?
I might be. Should I be standing up?
Atef may have had marijuana in her system.
How can you say may have had it? You do or don't. What are you doing to me, CHP?
Ultimately, prosecutors at the LA City Attorney's Office declined to press charges. In December 2007, they released this statement. After conducting a thorough investigation, which included consulting with some of the top accident reconstruction experts in the country, city prosecutors concluded that there was insufficient evidence from which a jury could find Ms. Norwood guilty of such a charge beyond a reasonable doubt.
And this is the police. LAPD.
No, this is the LA City Attorney's Office.
Oh, okay.
The prosecutors who would have taken her case to trial, but decided not to.
Yeah, and CHP's like, you should do it. You should do it.
Right.
It's like, who the fuck are you? You write tickets for people on the highway. How is it that you come to the conclusion the day of that she should be tried for manslaughter when it took the city attorney's office one full year to investigate?
Or the cops might have leaked that information to go against the California Highway Patrol.
I mean, that'd be nice for the LAPD to have a good story in one of our podcasts. You know, that'd be kind of sweet.
Because that benefits Brandy and goes against their recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Well, the CHP is different than the LAPD. They're their own thing.
Yeah.
The sheriffs, the LAPD, and the Highway Patrol are all three different organizations.
But either way, no matter where it came from, it leaks, and that kills the case for the prosecutors.
Great.
Because they think there's no way that Brandy will be found guilty after that information is out there.
And they don't even say definitively that she hit the other car. They said may have.
In front of her. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the woman who died.
Atef may have hit the other car in front of her.
So she may have caused the accident after all.
Right.
This may have is a get out of jail free card for them.
Right.
Because they're not saying she definitely had weed in her system. They said she may have had weed in her system. What does that mean? Why are you telling me she might have had weed?
It means she may have had weed in her system.
Why? Because she had a pipe hanging out of her mouth?
I don't know. She might have had weed in her system because they found traces of marijuana in her system. Look. This is a tragic accident, keyword accident.
Yeah.
No matter who caused it.
Right.
And I don't think that there was anything that recklessly done,
right,
in my opinion. I think it was just a horrible accident.
That's what I'm saying. 65 on a California highway that's wide open is very slow.
I agree with you. You mentioned earlier it could happen to anyone. It really could.
Yeah. I've almost rear-ended a million people every day.
Right.
It seems like a blessing and a curse in a way with Atef, because when she flipped over the median, I'm guessing that the car flipped over so that she was the person who got hit first.
Mm-hmm.
The front of the car was facing the opposite way. Because if she had flipped over and the car spun, then the two kids are getting hit in the back seat. So she kind of took one for the team. Like,
oof.
She's the one that got hit and saved her kids pretty much, which is crazy.
Which is what she would have preferred.
Well,
she was working two jobs to support the family.
Yeah. Mm.
So after the prosecutors announced that they were not taking the case to trial or charging Brandy, no one has ever been charged criminally because of this accident.
Yeah.
Which upset a lot of people. They think the people on the other side are saying, Brandy's a big pop star. Why does she get special treatment? Mm-hmm. How did she get out of this unscathed? Not even paying a fine.
Oh, so the CHP didn't even give her a fucking ticket? After they're saying, hey, this bitch should be in jail?
Maybe it goes beyond a ticket.
Wow. Erica Estrada and Chips coming after Brandy.
So in response to that news, Brandy's attorney, Blair Burke, issued a statement that said, we are extremely pleased that after a more thorough and extensive investigation by authorities, Brandy Norwood should not be charged with any crime whatsoever relating to the accident back in 2006.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of rooting for Brandy here, because CHP just completely jumped the gun and started talking about shit that they really didn't know about.
Right.
If it took everybody else a year to investigate, why are they so eager to go after her?
That is unfair.
That's super unfair.
And they pointed that out. Her attorney said that it was a year of extraordinary hardship for Brandy and her family because there was a cloud of suspicion hanging over them.
The amount of stress and guilt that must have caused her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if you've even said it yet, but she came out and said that she wanted to commit suicide.
Yes.
Because of how bad it got and people going after her.
No, I didn't say that yet, but she has mentioned that it was a very dark time for her and she did think of taking her own life.
Mm-hmm.
Which I totally understand.
Yeah,
it must have been pure despair. Because, again, when she was out of her car on the highway right after it happened, she's desperate to see what's going on and take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
Saying that she caused it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Brandy's fault that they're not taking it to trial.
Yeah, exactly. And she's not one of these celebrities that seem like super narcissistic and like they felt like they got one over on people and like kind of smirking in photos and shit.
Yeah.
Although people tried to frame it like that. Like she went out to a club and everyone got so mad saying, oh, she doesn't even care about what happened because she went to a club one night.
Yeah, I actually have the story right here. It was a TMZ story.
Mm.
TMZ, by the way, is also the website that first broke the news of the accident.
TMZ was around back then?
They were. Wow. Their first claim to fame was the Michael Richards video.
No way.
From the Laugh Factory.
Wow.
You don't remember that? TMZ was splashed all over that video.
Which, if people listening right now don't know what we're talking about, do yourself a favor and put some headphones in and see that set.
So in spring 2007, the article from TMZ says Brandy finally ready to party.
Mm.
And she was seen attending a friend's birthday party in Hollywood. And some people online were like, what the hell are you doing? How dare you look like you're having a good time?
Well, that's more on TMZ for framing it like that. She's ready to party. Like she said that. They fucking said that.
Mm.
And it makes it look more callous on her behalf just
right,
with that title, because it makes it seem like she's putting that out there. That's
yeah,
gross.
And they pointed out that she still had her license and that she chose a chauffeured town car instead of getting behind the wheel.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do too. If I had the money and I got into a car accident where someone died, I'd be calling my driver.
But that's sort of a death wish too. Remember,
Bob Simon.
Yeah, you took it right from my mouth.
The livery car.
So I say that Brandy really can't win in this situation.
No.
She either has to stay in and be a recluse, or she has to finally peek her head out in the public again, and then she's going to get scrutinized for doing so.
Yeah, exactly.
She can't win.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right. Although, wait, what's the downside of staying in then? Then she won't be bothered. Maybe she should have stayed in a little longer.
Well, then there'd be people being like, she hasn't had the nerve to come outside and show herself. Show yourself!
So stupid. Lawsuits. We got them.
We got them.
We got a lot of them.
Yeah.
Atef's parents in February 2007 sued her for $50 million. Claiming that she was driving recklessly when her Land Rover struck the Honda. So it must have been a Honda by their daughter, Atef Abutahaj. And that lawsuit was actually filed the day after the California Highway Patrol recommendation.
Mm.
So good timing, actually. And then Atef's sons filed their own lawsuit, the ones that survived the crash.
Wow.
Then Atef's husband filed another lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
He also sued Mallory Ham, the last car that hit Atef on the other side of the highway.
Like it's their fault at all.
And then Donald, the one who Atef hit from behind, filed a lawsuit against Brandy and Atef, the victim, saying they were both driving recklessly.
Wow.
And then Mallory sued Brandy. And then in response, Brandy sued Mallory, and they were accusing each other of negligence.
Wow. Brandy sued Mallory. A man named Mallory.
We have so many lawsuits here, you can't keep up.
Yeah.
It's like a...
It's like an all-you-can-eat lawsuit buffet.
Yes. Brandy denied every allegation. And she tried to settle with Atef's husband previously, offering him an insurance payout of $1.2 million.
Wow.
$200,000 from her, the rest from the company.
Mm.
But he turned her down.
He thought, I could get more.
Yes, especially since at that time, this might be going to criminal trial.
Mm.
So why only take $1 million?
Yeah, lawyers would say not to take that because you could sue and get way more.
Mm-hmm. The cases were eventually combined because there were so many and all settled out of court eventually.
Mm.
As we know, it didn't go to criminal trial. And then that story leaked that Atef might have been high, might have caused the pile up.
Damn.
And that severely hurt her husband's case.
Absolutely.
So I bet he ended up settling for a lot less.
I would guess, yeah.
So anyway, so all those cases are settled and we don't know all the amounts, although I heard that the sons got at least $300,000 each.
Wow.
I mean, so that's sort of nice.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be in their head every day.
Yeah.
Absolute trauma.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
The worst. Robert Big Bert Smith is the guy that produced Brandy's Full Moon album, and she has a daughter with him.
Mm.
Big Bert.
Big Bert.
And I have a clip of Brandy talking about the experience with Oprah on Where Are They Now?
Mm.
Jesus, that's demeaning.
Where'd you go?
Was 2006 the worst time for you when you were involved in the accident?
No, it was good.
Was killed? Was that the worst?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You never wake up thinking that
today's the day.
Today's the day that something like this would happen. Or being involved in something that tragic and I couldn't believe it. And I don't like to think about it because I don't think that's something I could ever get over or ever truly understand. But that was one of the worst times in my life.
How did you manage to go on and get over? Did you ever speak to her family? Did you ever?
Yes, I did speak to her family, but for me, that's when I realized that God is real. Because when you, I had no one else to turn to. I had no one else to depend on. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of speaking to God, a lot of praying, and a lot of journaling, a lot of gospel music.
Wow. I've never been in such a traumatic situation that I just suddenly became religious. That's got to be crazy.
Where she had nobody to turn to except for God. Completely and utterly alone.
Wow.
Yeah, the, you know, it's a life changer. Mm. I don't know how she copes with all the judgment, too.
Yeah, that's got to be the worst.
It's constant judgment. Mm. There was a blind item that said that she did turn to some drugs afterwards.
Really?
To cope with everything, like Rebecca Gayhart did, but not as intense as Rebecca Gayhart.
Sure. I mean, you got to do something to try to ease that, the stress of the whole situation, the pain of knowing that, you know, your reaction time wasn't enough to stop this person from dying.
Right. And unlike Rebecca Gayhart, she was not necessarily reckless.
Right.
Rebecca Gayhart was.
Mm-hmm.
It was an accident, but still, she was driving recklessly. Brandy, it sounds like it was simply an accident and possibly the pileup was starting already and she joined it, you know?
Mm, wow.
Or she caused it.
There was a car in front of me one time that I almost hit like three times in a row. And I'm like, what the fuck is, what's wrong with me? Why am I not realizing that they're stopping? And it's because after like the third or fourth time, I realized that their brake lights weren't working. So when a car comes to a stop without the brake lights coming on, it's such a mind fuck.
Yeah.
And I could see that if Brandy didn't realize that this woman was slowing down because she just crashed into another car in front of her, there's nothing you can do.
Right, right.
You are going to go right into that car.
Yeah.
It is a terrifying thing, but if you don't see those red lights just blink up right in your face, you're not, you, it's over.
Mm-hmm. Because you're so programmed to respond to
the lights.
That stimuli.
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
It's Pavlovian.
Yeah.
You see the brake lights, you stop.
Yeah. And if that doesn't happen, good luck to you, because you're not going to be able to figure that out in enough time to stop, especially on a highway.
Mm-hmm.
I think her biggest crime was being a famous person that was involved in this, because they're all going to look at you and say, money, money, money. It was all your fault. You should have known better. You're a spoiled, you know, entitled celebrity with a bunch of money. Pay me. And so, yeah, as soon as she was outed, especially the CHP does not help her case whatsoever. Just throwing her under the bus. That to me is unacceptable. Give it time, do a thorough investigation, and then come out and say what the deal was.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have a recommendation within a day over this person's criminal prosecution.
Recommend this.
Yeah. Ticket this, bitch.
Well, folks, I think you just heard Kyle's
final thoughts.
That is absolutely my final thought. Shame on you, CHP. I never thought I would applaud the LAPD in one of our episodes, but they are one of the good guys today, I guess. Yeah, I think her biggest crime was that she was a celebrity and happened to be involved in this horrific tragedy. You can see they cannibalized each other. It was like, I've said this before in other podcasts, but the Lufthansa heist, where everybody was involved in this one thing and then they started suing each other like crazy, trying to pick each other off and take money from everybody else.
But can you blame the family for trying to get as much money as possible?
No, I'm confused at Mallory, the man named Mallory, suing everybody, suing the dead woman. Like,
no, that was actually Donald who sued Atef. The guy that ought to have hit from behind.
That's even worse. Like, how can the person who got hit by someone who ended up dying be at all persecuted?
From his view, he was injured, suffered some shock, whatever. And he thought that Brandy and Atef caused it.
Mm.
He thought they were both driving recklessly.
But also Donald. He's suing Donald.
What do you mean?
Didn't Mallory sue Donald?
No, Mallory didn't sue Donald.
Oh, I thought that's what you were saying. I was like, Jesus, that is insane.
No.
Okay, so there's
Who's going to sue Donald? He got hit.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm like, okay, there's some sense to this story then, because I was just outraged that Donald was getting
sued. No, Mallory was suing Artef because Artef
happened to...
Yeah, was on the other side of the highway and caused the accident for Mallory.
Yeah.
Even though Artef was forced onto that after getting hit by Brandy. Mm. It's all very convoluted and...
It's a shame.
It's a shame.
That's literally all you can say.
Yeah.
It's horrific. I feel for Artef's kids that I'm tearing up even thinking about it.
Really?
Yeah. To be there when your mom dies?
Yeah.
Jeez.
To witness it.
Be a part of it. You're in that danger too. You're not just watching somebody you love get hurt. That is very much a danger to yourself too. It's just, oof.
While you're really tearing up.
Yeah.
And Brandy, don't forget about Brandy, that she had to live with the guilt and still has to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to say I'm sorry or pay them out.
Yeah, she needs to watch Good Will Hunting. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
Robin Williams classic.
She needs you to hug her.
Jeez, say, I need a goddamn hug.
It's not her. Yeah, Kyle is actually crying right now.
I'm not crying. I'm tearing up. I think it's... I think it's because I'm about to have a kid.
And it's the air. It's like dry.
It's a little dry in here. No, I really think it is.
We have onion flavored Gardettos.
Yeah. We haven't showered. We're onion flavored people right now.
No, but you're about to be a parent, so you feel for those sons having to lose their mom.
Yeah.
Mm. Terrible.
Can't imagine. So, yeah, that's the final thought here.
Well, RIP. Artef,
yeah,
Abudahash,
mm-hmm.
38 years old. Brandy, incidentally, was 27 years old at the time of the accident.
Wow.
So she's in a different kind of 27 club.
Right.
And I forgot to point this out on the Aaron Hernandez episode. He is part of the 27 club.
Yeah, he was 27 when he died. Yeah, so that would make him in the club.
You say that like it's nothing.
I thought we did say it, but we might not have.
I don't know. Maybe we did.
I don't know. Maybe God edited it out. I don't know.
And I'm just saying it again.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. Kyle Kennedy did.
Yeah.
Go listen to the podcast if you want to find out who that is.
And you had a little something to share with us quick?
Oh, yeah. It seems like the 405 might be cursed. There's a lot of celebrity-involved crashes on that highway.
So we know about Brandy.
Yeah, we covered, the Power Rangers curse.
Mm-hmm.
Tui Trang, the original Yellow Ranger from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, was killed in a car accident on the 405.
Wow.
In California. I guess David Beckham was involved in a pretty bad wreck on the 405. He survived. I believe everybody in that crash survived.
Oh, good.
Friend of the show, Alyssa Milano, was driving. She was actually a passenger in her uncle's car. Her uncle was driving, had a heart attack while he was driving.
Oh, no.
Crashed into another SUV. That SUV took off, and they came to a complete halt, and she had to get out of the car that she was in with her uncle, take her uncle out of the car, and give him CPR while waiting for the medics, and he actually survived.
Wow.
Yeah. Which that's a crazy, insane experience, and I'm glad he's all right.
See, that would warrant a GoFundMe.
Exactly.
For her uncle, not for her kid's baseball trip.
Great point. I mean, yeah, this is not getting you off the hook for that baseball trip GoFundMe, that Mark Ruffalo, we saw you. Even though you were great in Poor Things, paying $200 for a rich kid's trip. Yeah, so those are the most recent crashes on the 405 involving celebrities. And there was also two UFC fighters, too, actually. But they survived.
And it's also where the famous chase in 1994 happened with O.J. Simpson and the white Bronco.
Mr. Simpson and the Bronco.
And yeah. I think what we're really trying to say here is slow down.
Slow it down.
Don't text.
No.
And... pay attention.
Yeah.
Wake up, kids.
Jeez. Pay attention. Don't go more than 65 on the highway.
Because you might.
Bad things might happen.
There you go.
Yeah. There's a lot going on out there in the world. Stay safe.
Wait, do you hear that?
You've got mail.
We've got mail?
What?
Get out of town. We got the mailbag. What's going on in the world of comments? All right, Zach on YouTube gave us a very nice comment on the Aaron Hernandez Part 2 episode. He said, you guys are the best, best in all caps. So what's up? We know he means it with multiple exclamation points.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. He says, as a mailman listening to your podcast, it helps each day go by faster. However, I will admit, while I'm listening to you guys talk about the details of the deaths you cover, it scares the shit out of me having to walk up to people's houses and porches like someone's going to jump out and turn me into a true crime podcast episode myself.
Oh, no.
Thanks for the time and effort you put into your work and can't wait for all the future stuff you're going to put out. Very nice.
Wow. And we got mail from literally a mailman.
You've got mail from a mailman. They said they're in a rural area of Michigan, and it's definitely scarier than a city. Usually have to pause the podcast and think of my happy place when going up to a house.
Wow. I hate to think that we're actually scary.
Yeah.
We do tell frightening tales.
Yeah, don't listen to the Delphi episode while you're doing your route, because that's all rural.
Yeah.
All creepy, small town shit.
Wow.
Yeah. But thank you for listening. Thank you for writing to us. We appreciate you.
And noticing the time and effort.
Exactly.
This, because we do put in a lot of time and effort into these episodes.
We sure do. So if you have some time, go over to Spotify, go over to Apple Podcasts, and leave us a nice little review, huh?
Yeah, really. If you are listening on Spotify right now, what is stopping you from clicking 5 stars?
We're getting thousands and thousands and thousands of listens per month. And we only have 75 goddamn Apple reviews. Let's get that up there.
No need to beg, Kyle.
Get it up there.
And then go to patreon.com/deathandentertainment.
Speaking of begging.
And we have a lot of episodes there now. They're building up, and we have 2 more great ones coming this month that you won't want to miss. But I don't even want to get into all the old ones that are up there. We have Jada Pinkett. We have the 9/11 liar, Steve Ranazzisi. We have the real story behind the movie Bully, which is a very wild tale.
Yeah.
And there's a lot going on there, and we would love for you to, if you really want to support the show, please join our Patreon.
Come on down.
All right, I'm begging. I'm on my knees.
Hey.
Let me just grab the knee pads.
You gotta do what you gotta do sometimes. But we say that to say this. We love you. We appreciate you.
And until next week,
don't go dying on us.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You have just heard
a true Hollywood
shocker.
I have never seen anything like this before.
The movies, Broadway, music, television, all of it.
A place that manufactures
nightmares.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Good night. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon.